might tell your loved ones that you aren't going to see a lot of them for the next 3 days. What we're going to do this evening, we're going to start out doing the spreadsheets, and the two fiscal analysts will go through them, and we'll try to see what the differences are between the House and the Senate bill, and then we have some small language amendments, I believe. So, who's going to start, John? John Walls, House Fiscal Analyst, will start.
Mr. Chair, you should all have a copy of the spreadsheet in your packets, and I'll just begin at the bottom of page one. There were some adult mental health reductions proposed by the governor. Some of those were picked up by the Senate. Those are currently not included in the House bill. On line 81 was an item that was already used by the House and Senate for savings in the GAMC bill. Moving on to page two, there was some chemical dependency funding reductions proposed by the governor, most of which were included in the House bill. However, on line 90, you see another provision that was used in the GAMC bill. The Senate only includes the savings from the reduction to the Mother's First program. On line 93, the Senate has a provision to reduce CD rates 5% for providers with rates above the average, and also a general chemical dependency provider rate reduction on line 97. Children's mental health budget reductions. Mr. Chair, there was some proposed by the governor. I believe the ones that are reflected on the House side were amended out on the House floor. So I think those will be removed in future versions of the spreadsheet. And the Senate includes an elimination of a $200,000 specialty care grant. On line 107, all parties reflect a savings from capturing the state-operated services laundry account balance. The House includes a one-time addition of $9 million to state-operated services that would delay some of the redesign proposals until next session.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Thiessen.
Do you want us to ask questions as we go through here?
Sure.
So there was also state-operated services on the Senate side. Does that show up in a different area of the budget?
We'll get to it.
So there is going to be, okay.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 116, there was state-operated services budget reduction in the tails of $4,004,000 that is included in both the House and Senate proposal. On line 135 at the top of page 3, there is the elimination of SNAP asset limits and increase in income eligibility included in both proposals. The House includes some changes to the MFIP program, including counting some of additional subsidized housing as an offset to income, changing vehicle asset limits, and reducing the exit level of poverty from 115% of poverty to 110%. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Dennis Albrecht to discuss some Senate provisions.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on with line number 144 is a Senate-only provision. A Senate-only provision, it's a $700,000 reduction in the tails. On line...
You skipped the family cap.
Going back up to line 140 is a Senate provision to revise the MFIP family cap. And then skipping over the supplemental services reduction.
Mr. Chair. So 144, is that an unallotment? Piece that the Senate's accepting in the tails?
We don't have any unallotments in our bill, Representative.
Is that an item that the governor unallotted this year?
This is an item that we've chose to take as a reduction in our tails.
Okay, but you're not answering my question. I'm just curious.
There's no marking.
Doesn't seem like a very hard question.
On line 148, Mr. Chair and members, is...
this is a really good start.
A Senate provision to have an ongoing reduction in PCEA maximum hours in the tails.
Mr. Chair, is that something that was included in the unallotment?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, we are not including any unallotments in this budget, but we have picked up some savings in the tails for various items. Probably we'll get a clear description of them when we go through the language, unless you want a clear description of them tonight.
Well, Representatives.
I would like a clear description of that. I mean, that doesn't seem like a very hard question to answer.
Senator Burgum.
I don't need a description. I'm just curious so that we can understand exactly what's going on.
Mr. Chairman, the PCA hours are a limitation of 275 hours per month.
Mr. Albrecht.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 152 are some Senate reductions to county grants.
We've reduced two county grants here, and they're offset by the value of FMAP to the counties. One-time reductions.
I can't hear.
On line 166 provision to capture understanding in the basic lighting fee program. The House and Senate have the same amounts. They're different than the governor's amount because after the governor's proposal came out, we got information that more was available for that purpose. On line 172 is the TANF refinancing of the ERA money. The House has got the same amount. On line 179 is a provision in the Senate to fund general fund child care caseload growth and some working family credit with the TANF money. On line 205 is a Senate proposal to reduce funding in the basic siting fee program with no corresponding provider reductions. On line 225 is an ongoing medical provider reduction that does not include mental health services. On line 230 is an ongoing medical specialty care reduction. The Senate does not include mental health services. The House has a similar provision. At the very bottom of that page is the title for the item at the top of the next page, but that was a GAMC item. On line 265 is a House proposal to increase food shelf grants. On line 245 is a House proposal to, that's the governor's proposal, to eliminate the Minnesota Food Assistance Program. On line 250 is a House proposal to eliminate the grants that are listed below there. On line 258 is a technical correction of some rider language in last year's bill that does have fiscal implications, and both or all three, the governor and the House and the Senate, are using the same numbers. Similarly, on line 265 is a governor's proposal to reduce a variety of grant balances in children and family services, and all three have the same numbers. On line 270 is a Senate provision to use CPEs to claim dish money in the tails?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
That's a big one that we don't have. Can someone explain exactly what that provision is?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members of the conference committee, just as the GAMC bill claimed CPEs that are very graciously contributed by Hennepin County and Regents Hospital through Ramsey County, the tail savings were not taken, and we're doing that in this part of our bill.
So, Mr. Chair, the
Representative Thiessen.
So these are savings based on the current GAMC proposal that's being moved forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Representative Thiessen, no. I just referenced it because I thought maybe you might understand it better.
Right, and I'm just trying to follow. So you're saying these are savings claimed in the tails that weren't claimed before.
Correct.
And so that is that assuming continuation of the current GAMC program?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, no. You will find that later on our spreadsheet.
Can you just tell us now?
Representative Thiessen.
Mr. Chair, sorry.
Senator Berglund.
Our bill sunsets the GAMC program as of June 1st.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, so the reference to the GAMC, current GAMC program was just an analogy.
I think you understand correctly now. I was just trying to help you understand the CPEs, why they're not showing up earlier and why they show up in the tails.
Mr. Albrecht.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on line 274 is a Senate proposal to suspend nursing facility rebasing in the tails. On line 302 are House reductions for continuing care providers. I'm sorry, they're increases. The next series are some House items, so I'll defer to Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, continuing on page 6, line 322, the House inserted some revenue from tax capture of tax revenue on foreign operating corporations and tax havens. This totaled about $55 million in 2010 and 11. On line 302, there is
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, it's kind of unusual to have tax provisions in a Health and Human Services budget bill.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Berglund, you made a correct statement.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I believe that was mentioned on the House floor at the time.
Well, we'll have to see how things go here.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 302, the House adds $100,000 on a one-time basis in 2011 for Region 10 quality assurance. There are some temporary long-term care facilities increases for Atwater, ICFMR, Clearwater ICFMR, and a facility in Manoman. On line 315, there is some revenue from an increase in TEFRA fees to be at cost above 556% of poverty. On line 321 is a governor's proposal for additional disabilities waiver growth limits that is in the House and Senate bills. There is an elderly waiver case mix cap on line 327 that was the governor's proposal included in the House bill. The PACE modifications on line 322 is a budget neutral position included in the House bill. The Senate has a provision for MA prescription coverage by two-way video
Mr. Chair. It's rather confusing.
So on.
It's rather confusing because there are two 321s. In fact, there's a whole section that's replicated.
Mr. Chair, that's actually been happening all the way through the spreadsheet. Yes. There's been blocks that are repeated. As we, it appeared to me we were mixing and matching, putting two spreadsheets together, and numbering isn't sequential through there.
Senator Laurie, we will, the staff will correct those in the next version that we get. Just remember the speed with which this was prepared.
Yeah. Members, don't worry too much. Hopefully we won't be working off of this spreadsheet for too much longer.
Mr. Chair, continuing on page 7, the governor proposed an increase in the managed care withhold. This is included in both the House and Senate bill. However, the House is reflecting different numbers due to interactions with other proposals in our bill. On line 353 is the cancellation of an appropriation for Section 125 plans. This was a governor's proposal to cancel this, carried in a different a part of the budget in the governor's budget document, but it's included in both the House and Senate bill. The House includes on line 357 some money to begin the Office of the Health Inspector General. On line 363 is
Senator Berglund.
Could we just have a word about what a Health Inspector General is?
Senator Berglund, this is an attempt to increase catching people that are trying to defraud the state with in their medical assistance billings. And we all know, I think, that nationally there's very high levels of fraud in government programs. It's probably not as bad here in Minnesota, but this was an attempt to try to collect money from the federal government. If we find the fraud, they not only let us keep our share of that, our 50%, but they also give us a bonus so that we actually get more than our dollars back if we do a good job of detecting fraud. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, is there going to be showing up someplace else some savings for, as a result of funding this office?
We asked Mr. Hoffman. Okay. Mr. Hoffman declined to give us the savings.
Okay.
Hence lines 363.
That's a real good
one. So, Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 363, there's $50,000 for a study of the transfer of fiscal note duties at the Department of Human Services to another agency. On line 368, the House has a provision to lower any Medicaid rates to Medicare rates wherever Medicare rates are lower for the same service. On line 375.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure now or sometime later, but could you just explain which providers these rate reductions would affect?
We have the codes, I believe, but we can wait till we get through and then have the department testify on that.
All right.
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 375, the House has a provision to increase MAEPD premiums, which would bring in $2 million in revenue in the 12 and 13 biennium. On line 381, the House has a proposal to increase DRG rates for children's services in years 12 and 13 up to an amount of $3.6 million per year. On line 387, there's a provision that volunteer firefighters may purchase Minnesota Care at full cost, and the costs reflected here are for systems changes due to that provision. On line 394 is a House bill to allow Minnesota Care purchasers to also purchase supplemental hospital coverage, and I believe these are also systems costs related to making that change. On line 401 are slight savings due to a requirement for chemotherapy coverage by other health providers, or to require increased chemotherapy coverage. On line 408 are some pharmacy rate adjustments, and this is the small costs related to increasing some of the pharmacy rates. On line 416, there's some modifications to coverage rates for rehabilitative services, and the savings are reflected there. On line 429, the House removes $20 million from the GAMC coordinated care pool. This was a provision that was used to reduce some of the House's other reductions at the time for hospital rates, and also to include increases for grants to FQHCs and community care clinics. On line 435 are savings related to autism spectrum disorder coverage. Would require a greater level of coverage by other plans and produces savings in the MA elderly and disabled category. Mr. Chair, on line 441 is the inpatient hospital rateable reduction, and that brings us to line 451, where I'll turn it over to Mr. Albrecht.
Mr. Chair and members, line 451 is the Senate's hospital surcharge. You can see in the lines below the amount of revenue and the amount paid back through rate increases. On line 460 are both the Senate and the House positions on MA early expansion for adults without children below 75% of the federal poverty guideline.
Representative Thiessen.
So under these, at least under the House proposal, we're doing this through managed care. Is that the same as it would be in the Senate proposal?
Well, eventually, I'm not sure if they can, you know, our implementation date is June 1st of this year. So I believe there's a period of time when it's done through fee-for-service and then it's switched over to managed care.
By the next biennium, it will be in managed care.
I don't remember exactly when the date would be that it would go in. I think it's January 1st, but of this biennium. But
and I'm just wondering how this expansion interrelates with line 270 and the CPEs, because I think the CPEs you got to draw down under fee for service and uncompensated care to get those savings.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, no, we're using certified public expenditures instead of fee for service. So these are certified public expenditures that are made through Hennepin and Regents hospitals. And those have nothing to do with what happens to managed care.
And does the department have a position on that interrelationship? Maybe we can do that after the spreadsheet is done.
Okay, let's continue.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 500 is both a Senate and a House position requiring licensing of birth centers. On line 505 is a budget neutral change reflecting the Department of Human Services additional costs for fair hearings and reflecting the cost of those and then reductions elsewhere to pay for them. On line 510 is the ICF MR surcharge. That's a Senate position. On line 516 is a nursing facility surcharge in the Senate. On line 521 is an ongoing DHS operating budget reduction. On line 526 is a position in both the House and the Senate to end the MINDO program in January 2011.
So, Senator Berglund.
If I could just ask if anyone knows why we have different numbers here.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I think the difference is because the offset for the county costs on line 529, the Senate has that in fiscal year 2011 and the House has it in fiscal year 2012.
Don't the people have to get put into something different this year?
It adds up the same.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's go on.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 531 is a position in both the House and the Senate for private health coverage for private duty nursing. On line 536 is a Senate in both or a position in both the House and Senate to claim 90% FFP for health care home services. On line 544 is a Senate asthma demonstration project. On line 548 on the next page is a Senate proposal to delay essential community services grants. On line 552 is a Hennepin and Ramsey County IGT demonstration program in both the House and the Senate. On line 563 are the amounts for both the House and the Senate's approaches to modifying the critical access dental program. On line 577 are the House and Senate approaches to an HMO surcharge. On line 591 is a Senate proposal to reduce rates in Minnesota care for adults without children over 75% of the federal poverty guideline. On line 597 is a House position for an HMO rate reduction and a 7% fee-for-service increase. On line 605 is a Senate position for housing with services changes. On line 615 is a Senate proposal to reduce managed care payment, non-administrative payments to managed care effective July 1st, 2010. Line 622 is a position in both the Senate and the House to have an ER withhold to reduce ER visits. Line 634 is a Senate position to delay all hospital rebasing until January 1st, 2013. Line 648 is a technical correction the governor proposed, and the House and Senate also have that. Line 651 is a Senate proposal to reduce the sex offender program costs for services provided by the Corrections Department.
Mr. Chair.
This is Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, I'm just back on 634. Sorry about that. My understanding was what in the Senate, is this a change from when the Senate bill came out? Because my understanding was there were no hospital cuts in the Senate bill when it came out.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, this is money that no hospital has received, so we don't consider it a hospital cut.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, online 656 is a Senate proposal to cancel an interagency agreement between the Department of Corrections and the Department of Human Services for three CD treatment positions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Are those positions being eliminated, or it looks like it's a transfer of appropriation authority? Is that being picked up in the corrections budget?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, that is what we would hope would happen.
Isn't that
but
budget
we are
closed?
Not in a position to tell the Department of Corrections what they have to do with the money they've been appropriated. But clearly this is a service that's being provided to correction inmates out of a non-essential public safety budget.
Mr. Ulrich.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 660 is a Senate position for a moratorium on premium payments for licensed providers. On line 675 is the Senate State Operated Services redesign changes.
So, Mr. Chairman, just so you can get Representative Thiessen up to speed because he wanted to know about this, we have appropriated on our spreadsheet certain amounts for certain parts of the program.
Okay.
On line 686 is a position in both the House and the Senate to reduce an appropriation that was made last year to provide a state COBRA subsidy. We also give carry-forward authority for that, but apparently there's enough money left after doing that to meet the anticipated demand for the program. And I think the next series, the last thing, I guess, in this section is House position to reduce the DHS Central Office Administrative Budget. I think now would be a good time to switch off to Mr. Walls.
Well, that was in the GMC bill.
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, I guess that brings us to line 823. The House adds back $74,000 from a governor's unallotment for Office of Complementary and Alternative Practices. Mr. Chair, moving on to page 14. On line 830, the Senate includes a budget reduction for the Department of Health, saving $900,000 in the 12 and 13 biennium. On line 837, the House and Senate add a birth record surcharge and a birth defects information system. On line 844, both the House and Senate include a delay in rural hospital capital improvement grants, saving $1.7 million. On line 857, the House includes a small amount
Mr.
of...
Mr. Walls, why are the numbers so different?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. On line 849, the Senate also includes a $5.3 million reduction to local public health grants. That is from the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, this is the other grant reduction that we took in order to offset the anticipated FMAP benefit to the counties.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 867, the House includes $75,000 for autism coverage study. $50,000 is a study of autism coverage throughout the state, and $25,000 is for a task force on the prevalence of autism in the Somali community. On line 873 is previously mentioned increase in grants for community clinics and FQHCs, each receiving $2.5 million in fiscal 2011. On line 867 are the associated reductions in the House and Senate for the Department of Health operating budget. On line 883, the Senate includes a provision for the Office of Unlicensed Professionals. On line 888, the House includes money for the e-health compliance initiative. On line 894, the House and Senate include the youth camp fee clarification. On line 908, the House includes $200,000 a year beginning in 2011 to reinstate the Healthcare Transformation Task Force. On line 912 provides an addition of $8.5 million a year beginning in 2012 for the statewide health improvement program. This is from the Healthcare Access Fund. On line 908, both the House and Senate include an advisory group on HMO administrative expenses. On line 912, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Albrecht to explain this Senate provision.
Mr. Chair, before you go back there, can
Representative Abler.
I think there's two lines for reductions in the Department of Health. Is that correct? Up on 830 and then 867, or were those two different departments? Did you say Department of Health for both of those? I think that's what I heard. But.
Representative Abel, would you give us those?
830 on the top of.
830? So, Mr.
Senator Berglund.
No, but there's 450,000, a Senate position for.
830 is a Senate position, and it's just taking tail savings off of the reduction that the health department already is enjoying.
Okay, and then that's on top of the.
Representative Abel.
Mr. Chair, that's on top of the reductions in line 867 to the same department. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Representative Abler, we have taken approximately the same reduction as the governor recommended. It's my opinion, whether we like it or not, whether we think these departments are being reduced too much or not, that if we don't take the savings, the positions will be held vacant anyway. When the vacancies occur.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 912 is a Senate position to transfer the COWS program from the Medical Services Board. Line 916 is both the Senate and House proposal for birth center licensing. This is the licensing part of that. On line 933 is a Senate position that cancels a previous appropriation to the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Mr. Chairman, this was a performance set aside. Here we did those, and the Department of Veterans Affairs did not earn their set aside, but nobody has taken it back yet, so we thought we would.
On the next page, Mr. Chair and members, is an appropriation to the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy on the Senate side.
Maybe a word of explanation here might be in order before we go through each of these, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
The boards came forward with a proposal for us to take surpluses from the boards that had surpluses. And part of their request was then that we would appropriate money to the boards that had deficiencies. And so when you go through and see that there's some appropriations for some boards, those are the boards that had the deficiencies. And then when you see we get to the bottom, that is the remainder that was left from the boards that had surpluses.
Mr. Chair and members, online. 993 is Both the House and Senate give additional money to the Board of Nursing Home Administrators, although different amounts.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Is that really $2 million in the House? We are a very generous House, I know, sometimes, okay. Mr. Chair.
That's from Representative Clark's part of the bill, so.
Right, that's just an interesting disparity between the governor who took money away and the Senate, which gave him a little, and then I like him a lot, too, Mr. Chair. So.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
I can probably explain some of this. We had hearings on every single board, and we heard from them a number of issues concerning some of them facing real health and safety issues, not being able to do their job, inspecting and so on and so forth. So what we did is, and this was a bipartisan move, actually, then Severson and I got together on this, and we decided, and the committee agreed that we would put the money back into the special revenue fund and allow them to figure out within how they would reallocate that money and report back to us.
Okay. Thanks.
These are money that come from the fees for the professionals. These are their actual professional fees.
Mr. Chair and members, on line 1015 for the Board of Pharmacy is a Senate position that appropriates money to them for the controlled substances reporting system modifications. That's the line at the top of the next page.
Mr. Chairman, I might just add that the boards that are making these contributions have agreed to do so in order to keep the NASPER system funded.
On line 1030 for the Board of Podiatry on the Senate side is a small appropriation. On line 1066, both the House and Senate transfer some of the health-related board's reserves. This next section is for the Emergency Medical Services Board. On line 1079, the House has a grant reduction. On line 1087, both the House and the Senate and the governor as well correct an appropriation tracking error from last session. On line 1093 on the next page is the other side of the transfer of the CALS program.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Well, back to that tracking error on 1087. How come they all made different errors? None of the numbers are the same. So is that significant? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I can't explain what the House has done, but what the Senate did is, first of all, when we discovered that this was a problem, we asked the Department of Public Safety to stop their expenditure of money that we transferred to them from the board, and they did so. And we are taking that money back and reappropriating it back to the EMS board. And then the other thing we felt we did to help them with their error is not to make any administrative cuts to them. Now, I don't know what your numbers are, but that's where we got ours.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, there was an amendment that we accepted, actually Representative Thiessen's amendment, which put some of those dollars into the grant programs rather than into the administrative operating budget.
Mr. Chair and members, in this section, for some reason, the titles of the agencies has been removed from the spreadsheet, so it's difficult to follow. I do know that the next one is on line 1104 is a Senate appropriation to the University of Minnesota for the Couples on the Brink project. And these last two, are actually in different agencies in the Senate position.
Just to be clear, the Couples on the Brink project is a project that's been sponsored by Senator Dill, and it's accompanied by a $5 marriage license fee increase to pay for it.
What does it do?
Mr. Chair and members, this next section is the lines 1107. I believe for the governor and the House are for one of the ombudsman offices, but the Senate used it for the Department of Corrections. And that's the other side of the changes for the sex offender program, where the Senate would be reducing in the tails the appropriations for the Department of Corrections. And similarly, on lines 1118 to 1127, this is one of the ombudsman offices for the governor's recommendation and the House. And on line 1134 is the Senate's use of this for the Department of Commerce for an appropriation for, I believe, processing applications under the private health coverage for private duty nursing.
It was an administrative cost that accompanied that also. And so we will at some point want to know why the House isn't carrying that, because they have the proposal in their budget.
It's already passed. Okay. Representative Hodge.
Mr. Chair, before I'm not sure if we're ready to adjourn or not, but before we do,
side by sides that are ready.
Oh, there are some. Okay, well, if we're waiting, why don't I ask this question? You know, as we move forward, we're going to.
Let me, if the pages would hand out House Article 4, Senate Article 3, and House 6 and 8, and which relates to Senate 4, and then the House 9, which is the same as Senate 8. And so, Representative Hodge.
Mr. Chair, I was wondering if anybody's received any correspondence from the governor's office, if he'll be outlining any of his concerns or what he'd like to see happen out of this conference committee, so we're not, you know, just simply negotiating amongst each other, but seeing exactly what the governor is recommending or concerns are with what these bills are.
Okay. We have not. We have received a general letter about the bills, but not much in specifics.
Well, Mr. Chair, that letter was extremely general. So, and I know in the past he's outlined some concerns in which we've been able to address, and was wondering if that's going to transpire this time around too.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that we have a bit of work to do before it would even be fair for the governor to make an analysis of our bill. We have some things that are quite different about our bill.
Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, and members, and welcome back all the usual people. I think that there's some things that are pretty clear from where he's going and some directions both bills have gone. I think that the idea of new revenue streams are going to be problematic. I think the expansion of medical assistance is going to be problematic. And in terms of a couple things, and I think the idea of how big the target is based upon the his position to now require the $408 million in some form of cash is going to be something I hope that the target developers take into consideration. And So I'm, those are things that I know that from my conversations, and I think they would tell us that if they came and talked to us.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, Representative Abler, we believe it's problematic to pass the governor's budget. Even the Senate Republicans didn't want to vote for his budget, wanted changes to his budget. They solved the problem by taking most of the revenue out of the State Housing Finance Agency. Well, you know that isn't an option for us. So I would say that there are problems that are equal on each side of the equation here. And that's probably one of the reasons why we are here to have a conference committee. But, we are going to have a great deal of difficulty trying to pass the cuts that were in the governor's budget. I believe that the rest of the problem, as you describe it, will be solved outside of this conference committee. And the time we have been given to get this conference committee done, we will be doing well to reconcile the differences we have in front of us without adopting more problems to try to reconcile.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And I hope you take all my comments in the most kind of directions, and I think we share a common goal, and I think we've all worked here long enough to understand each other pretty well. And, you know, there'll be talk about Bill 1 and Bill 2, and from my perspective, I think that both houses have passed Bill 1, and I think that if we could make an effort to create Bill 2 that could be signed, it would be worth Sunday deadline is a deadline someone created. It may be possible to accomplish a bill like that. It may not be, but I think to send a bill up that will just be tossed off a cliff would not be a productive idea. And it just may be that if such a bill could be constructed, it would be thoughtful, and there would be some good bipartisan effort put into that and some of the retrenchments that we know we have to make. You might pick up some votes on my side as that goes forward. And I think it's, and I'm just trying to say it in my most nice way, that we can get done on time in the 10 days that we have, I think, with the approach that all of us are capable of here. And I'm going to try to help create, too. So thank you, Madam. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Abler, it is certainly my intent, and I know it's Senator Berglund's intent, too, is to come up with a bill that we think the governor will sign. We're not interested in coming up with a bill that would be an automatic veto. But some of the negotiations, as Senator Berglund said, with the governor are not directly with us, but with the leadership of the House and Senate.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And one positive thing in that end would be the signing of four contracts for the CCDS. Component, which takes at least a little pressure off that other piece, which I, anyway, I'll leave it at that. So, thanks.
Chair. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Couldn't pass up the opportunity to chime in on this because we have a lot of work to do, and we have just about 10 days, and one of the things we learned earlier this session is that in order to get something...
We have 3 days.
3 days, yes, that's right. We can 3 days to finish our work here, 3 days, 10 days till we're done. In order to get something signed means that the House and the Senate and the governor need to compromise. And so from my perspective, getting a repeated list of these are the things that aren't going to happen, and just as a reminder, these are the things that aren't going to happen, is not going to help us get done. Thank you.
Okay.
He's got to give us more.
So who's going to go through these?
He's
got
to give us more.
We have House Article 4 and Senate Article 3. Ms. Aves.
One and two are, section one is factors that must be verified and section 2 is eligibility and annual income calculations. In both of these, it refers to determination of eligibility beyond 6 months, not to exceed 12 months, for students who are under age 21 and meet other criteria. It makes both sections effective October 15, 2010. The language in both of those is identical. House Section 3 is a house-only position. It modifies the county contributions for basic sliding fee scale in the child care program. Section 4 is the asset limitations for food stamp households. The Senate has this provision also, but the House limits the vehicle value to less than $50,000, regardless of the use of the vehicle, and the Senate eliminates the asset limit. Section 5 of the House is resource limitations. It modifies the resource limitations for the MSA program, and what it does is assess a vehicle value of less than $50,000, regardless of the use of the vehicle. House Section 6 is the same as Senate file number 2639. Section 7 in the House is a supplemental rate for Manoman County. It increases the GRH supplemental rate for a specific facility in Manoman County. The next section is Senate Section 2, and it amends the MFIP family cap, clarifying that the law does not apply to the mother's first child subsequent to a pregnancy that did not result in a live birth. Section 8 is a House-only provision that modifies the MFIP asset limit related to the loan value of a vehicle, and that loan value is $7,500. That section is effective on March 1, 2011. And I'll turn it over to Ms. White for the remainder.
Mr. Chair and members, House-only Section 9 reduces the MFIP maximum income eligibility level from 115 to 110% of the federal poverty guidelines. This is effective October 1st of 2010. House-only Section 10 increases the amount of rental subsidies that must be counted as unearned income when determining the cash portion of the MFIP grant. I think this goes from $50 to $100. This is effective February 1st of 2011. House-only Section 11 prohibits MFIP recipients from using MFIP cash payments issued in the form of an EBT transfer for purchasing tobacco, alcohol, or lottery tickets. It also prohibits MFIP.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I know that there are provisions in here, including this one, that have fiscal notes on them that are not reflected in your spreadsheet. So I assume you'll be requesting fiscal notes and either including them in your spreadsheet or dropping them from your bill.
This was an amendment put on the floor. So
I'm quite familiar with it.
Actually, I think it's just current law. But
no, this has a fiscal note on it because even though this might not be legal, if we put it in the law, the department has to implement it, has to enforce it.
This section also prohibits MFIP recipients from using their cash payments at vendors located outside of Minnesota. House only, Section 12 requires...
If I could just comment on that one. My understanding... that does not meet federal legal requirements.
I'm surprised, Mr. Chairman, that you have illegal provisions in your bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
I'd like to get the Department of Human Services to assess that. I don't want to make any assumptions about that. We don't have to do it right now, but as we go forward.
Well, if
there are strong positions of the House that have been passed repeatedly.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, House-only Section 12 requires cashiers at points of sale to request a photo ID when an MFIP EBT card is presented. Section 13, House Section 13 and Senate Section 3 modify the the definition, or amends the MFIP hard-to-employ section of law to clarify the definition of severely limits a person's ability to obtain or maintain suitable employment. There's technical differences. The staff recommends the House language. House Section 14 is identical to Senate File 2505 that's being conferenced tomorrow. It directs the Commission of Human Services to direct $500,000 in federal child development funds for the purpose of providing statewide child care training, coaching, consultation, and supports for the quality rating system. House only Section 15 requires the Commissioner of Human Services to use existing resources to implement the changes in this bill related to child care assistance, redetermination of eligibility, and information verification.
Okay, next we have House Article 6, Senate Article 4, and Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair and members, House Article 1 and Senate Article, or Section rather, Section 1 is the reporting requirement for administrative expenses and investment income. This relates to requiring HMOs and county-based purchasers to directly allocate certain expenses and income information to specific lines of business. And the Senate and the House language is similar. The House, though, does require reporting specifically for dental services also in both paragraphs A and B, and the Senate doesn't. And the effective dates are different. The House has January 1, 2012, and the Senate has January 1, 2013. Section 2 relates to that same concept. It's the advisory group for administrative expenses. There are basically, the first section is technical differences in the Senate and the House, and then there are differences as far as the membership on the advisory group, and also the dates are different. The House has the first meeting of the group on September 1st, 2010, and the Senate has December 1st, 2010. And the House requires a report to the legislature by July 1st, 2011, and the Senate requires the report by February 15th of 2012. Sections 3 through 8 of this article in the House are similar to the Senate language in Senate File 2974, which was conferenced tonight and closed. That takes us to page 7 of the summary and page R18 of the side-by-side. Article 8, which is the public health article in the House. Section 1 is the distribution of funds. This modifies the use of distributed funds for medical education funds by specifying that a certain amount is used to support, in the House, the language is internationally trained legal residents, and in the Senate, the language is foreign trained physicians. And I think it's to help them to be eligible for certain positions within that medical school. Section 9 in the House is designation. It adds the licensed birth centers as a designated essential community provider, and the language is identical. In the House and the Senate, the Senate provision is in Senate File 2702. Section 10 in the House Article 6, Section 3 in the Senate is identical language related to the Commissioner of Health being prohibited from collecting certain information related to firearm ownership. Section 11 is House-only language, which provides regulation related to vendor accreditation reports and that are required or accepted by hospitals and clinics. Section 12, the birth record surcharge. There are technical differences. The House language includes a provision that, that says that the money will be used for Minnesota Birth Defects Information System, and the Senate didn't include that language.
House Section 13 is a House only, and this modifies current law related to the duration that a consent for the release of health records is valid by stating that the consent can be valid for any period of time stated in the consent. House Section 14 is House only, and this prohibits state agencies from providing patient-specific insurance information to the IRS. House Section 16, this modifies the Health Care Bill of Rights by adding to the definition of patient somebody who is receiving services or care from a licensed birth center. That's in Senate File 2702, and it's identical. House Section 17 is House only. The Senate bill is in finance currently. And this requires the Commissioner of Health to revise the clinical and case management blood lead level guidelines by January 1, 2011. And it requires the Commissioner to consult with certain entities and organizations when revising these guidelines. House Section 18 modifies the definition of health facility for purposes of oversight of the Office of Health Facilities Complaints by including birth centers. This is identical and it's to language in Senate File 2702. House Section 19 is identical to a provision in Section 5 of the Senate bill, and this makes a conforming change to the change to the Comprehensive Advanced Life Support. In Article 8, Section 2, the public health article, this provides that youth camps that pay an additional food and beverage establishment fee, an additional youth camp fee as well, and this is some technical differences to the language in Section 6 in the Senate bill. House Article 8, Section 3 provides that operators of a manufactured home park shall only pay one base fee. This is identical language to Senate's Section 7. Article 8, Section 4 of the House, this is House only, and it directs the Commissioner of Human Services to seek a federal waiver for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in order to increase the income eligibility to 375% of federal poverty guidelines for infants and children in order to treat and manage life-threatening food allergies. And House Section 20 and Senate Section 8 are identical. They permit health plans and county-based purchasers to complete an inventory of data collection and reporting requirements and submit the list to the Commissioners of Health and Human Services. Section 21. This is a provision that was in the bill that was just conference 2974, dealing with the application process for health exchange, information exchange. House Section 22 and Senate Section Section 9. This transfers to the Department of Health the powers and duties of the emergency medical board with respect to the CALS program, and that's identical language. The House Section 23 and Senate Section 10 is a revisor instruction that deals with the change in responsibility for the CALS program.
Bergman.
Chairman, I would move that the licensing article is no longer needed in this bill. We direct the staff to remove it from the materials that we will have to review. Items in Senate File 2974 that have been conferenced in another conference committee and are no longer needed to be considered by this conference committee also be removed from the materials.
Senator Brooklyn, we have a little trouble hearing you over here, too.
Materials that are in front of us regarding Senate File 2974 also be removed.
Mr. Chair. Has the governor indicated support for these bills that we're confident they'll be signed into law?
Well, 2974 is department bill. So I assume he would have signed that one. There's been very little changes put into it. And I don't think there's any controversy with the governor. The licensing bill, is that a department bill as well?
Mr. Chair, that is a department bill. When we conferenced it, the sections of the bill that were objectionable that were added, the department recommended that we take those sections out, and we did.
We hope the department and the governor agrees.
So, Senator Berglund has moved that the parts of this bill that were encompassed in Senate File 2974 and also that the entire Article 1 be removed from the bill. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so if staff would go ahead and do that, we'll have a somewhat smaller bill. Okay. Okay. Next, we have Article 10. It's being handed out right now.
I
Ms. Cleveland, if you could start on Article 10.
Mr. Chair, Section 1 of Article 10 is House-only provision. It summarizes the direct appropriations by fund for this article. Section 2 is the section that specifies that these appropriations are in addition to the appropriations made in 2009 and specifies that fiscal years in which specifies the fiscal years in which the appropriations are made. Section 3 is also House-only. This appropriates money to the in fiscal year 2011 to the Commissioner of Human Services for Minnesota Care Grants, MA Basic Health Care Grants, Long-Term Care Facility Grants, Long-Term Care Waivers and Home Grants, and Chemical Dependency Entitlement Grants. Section 4 in the House is identical to Article 6, Section 10 in the Senate, and this sets the county share for chemical dependency services provided on or after October 1st, 2008 and reimbursed by MA. Section 5 in the House and Senate Article 1, Section 13 are identical. This clarifies that a child who elects to receive hospice services does not waive coverage for services related to treatment of underlying condition. Section 6 is corrects a cross-reference. Section 7 is House only, and it reduces Hennepin County IGT monthly payments for a period of October 1st, 2008 to December 30th, 2010. And it complies with federal requirements prohibiting increases in the percentage of MA costs paid for by local units of government. It extends the lower payment amount through June 30th of 2011 if the federal government extends the enhanced federal match through that date. And it also makes changes in the provision dealing with payment up to Metropolitan Health Plan to reflect changing federal match rates. Section 8 is House only, and it this section specifies that if expiration of the provision is a violation of federal law, then the provision will expire on the date when it is no longer a violation under the ARRA and requires the Commissioner of Human Services to notify the reviser of statutes of that date. Sections 9 through 14 deal with modifying effective dates related to various, I think, MOA requirements, MOE, rather, requirements. They're all House-only provisions.
Any discussion of Article 10?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I think a few of these things are included in riders in the Senate bill, since they wouldn't need to be permanent law. So maybe we can figure out where those are and if they're identical or not.
Okay. We've gone through the material that we have, and I'd like to make one announcement, and that there's officially no saving of seats for the audience.
All right.
You have to get here early if you want them.
How about committee members? Is that
let's see.
No. Is it on?
Okay, no. And we will meet tomorrow. Senator Bergen will be chairing tomorrow, and we intend to meet at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Session starts.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Before you adjourn, I'd just like to acknowledge that one of our persons is missing today. Mr. McAfee will not be attending. I'm sorry about that. So I just think that he's been quite a part of this. And it's a little different. So just wanted to mention him.
We had a moment of silence on the House floor. I think he's been here the entire 18 years that I've been here. So with that, members, I would adjourn the conference committee.
That's right, and it's obvious that I'm not that, I think.